Isaiah chapter 1 is where we'll be tonight. Isaiah chapter 1. The title of my message today is, "Excuse me, sir, the doctor will see you now." If you're there in Isaiah chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore?" Before there is ever spiritual healing, there must be a recognition of spiritual sickness. Before there is ever revival in our land, we must realize that we are a sinful people. You know, the Bible in this passage likens their sin, and really I see almost a doctor's visit. I'm well acquainted with doctor visits. I was actually a rather sickly child. I developed asthma at the age of 2. I had pneumonia quite a few times over my childhood, and I even got stung in the throat by a bee once. I spent a lot of time at the doctor's office, and if there's one thing I know, it's how important a medical chart is. You see, you go to the doctor's office, and you check in with the secretary. Her name was Beth. And Beth would go and back and find my chart. It was rather thick, and she would get it out, and she'd prepare it, and she'd get it, and she'd let the doctor know I was there. And of course, I'd sit in the waiting room, and I'd wait and wait, and I'd be bored, and I was sick, and I was miserable, and I'd wait for the nurse to come back and say, "The doctor will see you now. You can come back to the room." Well, of course, when she said the doctor will see you now, she actually meant that she had some stuff to take care of first, and she would get my weight and my height, my blood pressure, all of that stuff, check my ears, eyes, nose, throat, and she'd just go all through this stuff, and she'd update my chart all along the way. And then she'd walk out of the room, put the chart right on the edge of the door, and she'd be like, "Well, the doctor will see you in just a moment." And of course, we all know that when she said "just a moment," she really meant 15 or 20 minutes, because you sit there and you'd wait, and you're just uncomfortable and you're miserable, and you're just waiting for the doctor to get in there and tell you what's wrong. Well, that doctor would grab that chart off that door, make a couple of look at it and just read what's there, and maybe ask you a couple of questions, do a test or two to find out what was wrong. Now, most of the time for me, it was just a sore throat, but there were times when it was a little more serious, and he would have to mark it down, and it would go down in my records on my medical chart that I had a strep throat, or that I had the flu, or whatever the case may be. But the medical chart was so important. You know, I believe God here is making a doctor's visit on the nation of Israel. And God already knows what's wrong with them. God already sees their sickness. He already sees their symptoms. He already has a diagnosis in mind. It's no question what's wrong. And you know, He already has a prescription written out. The only question He has for them is this: why will you be stricken anymore? Why do you continue to want to be sick? Why do you continue to want to stay in your sin? Why do you continue to want to be separated from me? Why do you not want revival? You know, in the very same way, I believe God is visiting each and every one of us tonight. And as the great physician, He's looking down, He's asking the same question. Why do you want to be sick? Why do you still continue to be stricken? Why do you not want to experience me in a more personal way? Why do you not want to be revived again? Now tonight, I'd like to look at the three entries on the spiritual medical chart so we can examine our spiritual symptoms, examine our spiritual diagnosis, and finally see our spiritual prescription. You see, our spiritual symptom is a plague toll. Verses 5 through 9 give us these symptoms. It says, "You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. You see, when God saw the nation of Israel, he no longer saw his children. He no longer saw his chosen children. Instead, he saw a plague leper. He saw each individual for what they really were. Sure, on the outside, they may have been fine. They may have been the picture of health. But on the inside, he saw their sin. He saw their pride and their apathy, their hypocrisy. And he looked at them and he saw nothing but sickness. You see, their whole body was desolate. But because when he looked at them and he saw that their whole body was desolate, he also saw that their whole country is desolate as well. You see, as the sin had and as their sickness had spread from one person to the next and to the next, pretty soon it developed maybe a family and then a town and then an outlying region until one by one the entire 12 tribes of Israel fell sick and really were disgusting in the sight of God. You know, as I began to research this message and just read some stuff about sickness online, I came upon an article about pandemics and epidemics, which is a widespread disease that usually induces panic in our society and culture. And what this study was about was the bird flu. You may remember that. It happened sometime around 2005. And all these experts got together and saw chickens in China were dying by the thousands and that they were getting sick and that they were just, what they expected was that pretty soon this bird flu would cross over and it would start affecting humans. And they were scared because they didn't have a remedy for it. They didn't have any medicine ready, no vaccines to be able to fight this. So you know what they did? They started to create these things. They started researching it. And all of their eyes were focused on chickens in China with bird flu. But you know what they forgot? They forgot about the pigs in Mexico. Because while chickens in China were dying by the thousands, so were pigs in Mexico. And while they were producing all these vaccines for the avian flu, they didn't see the swine flu coming. You see, the avian flu affected humans very little. There were only a few small reported cases of people being sick, and I believe I read only one real death attributed to avian flu. But we know that shortly after that, the swine flu started in Mexico, and it spread across to the borders of the United States and really ravaged this entire world because their eyes were focused on the chickens in China, and they forgot about the pigs in Mexico. You know, I wonder what our eyes are focused on. You know, what I'm scared and what I'm afraid of is that as I look out towards Los Angeles and I begin to prepare messages in my heart, and I begin to ask God to help me to go and witness to them, that I won't see something else coming from behind me. I won't see a spiritual sickness, spiritual sin slipping into my own life. That I may think that because I'm called to go and preach in Los Angeles, that I may get a little proud about that. Or I may think that I'm better than someone else because I have this calling of my life to such a needy city. And while I'm looking out there, I'll be spiritually desolate. I'll be spiritually sick in the sight of God because I've allowed sin to slip in my life. Well, my eyes were focused somewhere else. And what has your focus tonight? Are you focused so much on your future plans and ministry that you're not seeing the right now? You're so focused on when you get out in the ministry that you're missing what's going to happen this summer, that you're not sure what's going to happen this summer, and you're so focused on what you're going to do when you get out of Bible college that you don't even care what happens to you while you're in Bible college. You know, I see that their spiritual symptoms were plagued whole. But because they had symptoms, God makes a spiritual diagnosis. And that spiritual diagnosis is a profane worship. It says so in verses 10 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You see, God said that because of your spiritual sickness, of your plague's hole, I see a spiritual diagnosis of a profane worship. And you know what? I hate it. Children of Israel, I know that I told you to sacrifice unto me. I know I told you I was to be your only God. I told you to come before me and pray and worship me. But you know what? I want you to just go away. I don't even want to see you anymore. I hate what you look like. But not only does the Lord hate it, he hated it so much that he hid from it. He said, you know, I'm so fed up with the way you're backslidden and how sick you are that I'm gonna not only hate it, but I'm going to hide from it. I'm going to run away. When you pray, I'm not going to be there. When you sacrifice to me, I'm not going to accept it. When you worship me, you won't feel my presence. I had a dog growing up, and her name was Ditto, and I love Ditto. I'm a dog person. My family were always dog people. I have no problem with cats, but one thing that my dog did and what I was really proud of her for was she was a great hunter. If anything came into our backyard, she was off like that to go catch it. She didn't care. She would, whether it was a squirrel or a skunk, a bird or a kitty, it didn't matter. She was ready to go chase after it, and she was really successful at getting it. And when my dog, Ditto, would catch something, she'd kill it and she'd tear it to pieces, and I'm not going to go into a lot of that. But what she would do eventually was she would bring it to our doorstep. We had a patio door, and right there on the deck, we'd wake up in the morning, and there'd be a dead squirrel there, or a dead bird, or something that she had caught. It was almost like that was her offering to us. I wonder what your offerings to God look like. When you go before God and you go through the four offerings of the New Testament Christian of prayer and possession, praise and person, when you offer those up and see, God, I did this for you, I brought it for you. I wonder if God only sees a dead squirrel of pride or a dead cat of hypocrisy or, he just sees your sin and he hates it and he has to hide from it because a holy God can't stand in the presence of it. You know, because of our spiritual symptoms, and because we have a spiritual symptom of a plague toll, we have a spiritual diagnosis of a profane worship. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. I wonder if that's how God sees our worship. Does God see our worship as profane? Does he hate it? Is he hiding from it tonight? Are one of you in this crowd tonight keeping God from seeing what we want to accomplish here because you're offering up profane worship? Our symptoms are a plague toll. Our diagnosis is a profane worship. But I thank God that our prescription is a personal washing. Verses 16 through 18. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I first want to focus on verse 18 because in that verse I see a paradoxical washing. Do you catch it that in God's eyes, I know we often think of sin as being black, and there's definitely some application there, but in God's eyes, he says your sins are like a crimson stain. They're this red stain that when I look on it, it just reminds me of, anger and just the hatred and the blood that you've shed. But I thank God that some of the blood that our sins shed was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And God says that, you know what, I know it's a paradox for you guys, but in my perfect plan, when you take your red stained sin and apply the red blood of my son, Jesus Christ, I'll look at you and see it white as snow. I'll look at you and I'll see a whole creature. And again, you may not understand it, and I certainly don't understand how God can look at my sin and all the charges that he's just laid against her, how spiritually sick I am. And yet he looks at me, and because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, He looks at me and sees me white as snow. And you know, tonight I know that we're all here at Student Revival and that you would all probably profess to be a Christian, but I just talked to someone the other day who said for years they had professed to be a Christian and they doubted it and they weren't sure and they said that it was no use to them living the rest of their life in doubt and being ineffective for God when they know they could have the matter settled. And I'll tell you, that's so true. I don't know if you're not saved. I hope all of you are. But if you're not, you'll never experience what we call revival until you first experience what God calls salvation. You know, I see that washing. It's a paradox. It's a paradoxical washing. But it's also a practical washing. Verses 16 and 17 says, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." God wants it to be simple. You see, God has made salvation simple. And you know what? He's made revival simple as well. All he asks you to do to experience the spiritual healing that we would call revival is to cease to do evil and learn to do well. It's very practical. You know, we read in the Bible of Second Kings chapter 5 of the story of Naaman, and Naaman had leprosy. He had something that was literally eating his flesh. And he heard of a prophet in Israel named, in Samaria named Elisha. And that this prophet could heal him. And he goes to Elisha and says, "Elisha, you know, I'm bringing all this stuff to you, gold and silver and changes of garments, and I want you to make me clean." Elisha tells him, "Fine, I'll do that. I'll show you that there is a God in Israel. All you have to do is go wash in the Jordan 7 times. It's so simple. Just go down and dip yourself in the water 7 times and you'll be fine." You know what Naaman does? He gets mad. He gets angry. He said, "I thought you'd slap me on the arm, and as you slap me, these would just fall off, and I'd be whole. Or I thought there'd be some big, you know, lightning, and see God, and all this big, huge, showy type healing, and it would just be awesome, and I'd get to be a part of it." That's not what God desires at all. You see, he doesn't desire for us to make a huge show out of getting right. He just wants us to obey him. He just wants us to do what he says in his word. You want to make it very practical? I have just two practical ways that you guys have heard hundreds, if not thousands of times, but it bears repeating. You want to experience this practical washing? You want to experience personal revival? Read your Bible. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word." Ephesians 5, 25 through 27 says this about the church. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." You want to experience the revival? If you want to draw closer to God, then get into the book that he's given you. Read your Bible. Pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. It's so simple that we teach children it. And I feel that sometimes when we sing that song, we don't even think about it. That if you want to experience revival, just get into the Word of God. But also, if you want to experience revival, get involved in ministry. You know, this summer is coming upon us and we think it's a time of rest and relaxation. I have no problem with that. I plan to get some sleep myself. But it's not a time to stop living for God. It's not a time to stop resting. You're going home. Near church, I don't know hardly where any of you guys are from, what your church is like, but I can tell you this. They need you in the ministry. They need you to get involved. You want to keep yourself close to God and you want to experience revival? James 1:27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." First thing they say there, visitation, soul winning, ministering to bus kids or ministering to widows, whatever it is. Just get involved and you'll experience personal revival. You know, are you suffering from the symptoms of a plague toll? Do you realize that your diagnosis is a profane worship? Are you ready to receive the prescription of a personal washing? Are you ready to experience spiritual revival? If you're ready, then excuse me, sir. The doctor will see you now.